MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting with Jacques and Roddy, he's CEO of Peregrine Capital. Jacques, appreciate the time. Your semi-annual investor letters just come out. This one, of course, for mid-year. You made the point loud and clear. First page, world is contending two major forces at one: rising geopolitical uncertainty and emergence of human-level machine intelligence. Let's start with the first one, geopolitical uncertainty. I mean, it started with the Venezuelan president, but the big story, of course, was the attack on Iran, which is playing out in oil prices, which then plays out into interest rates, inflation, and pain for the consumer.
You know, it's really been a wild year on the geopolitical front. And it's funny, when I started writing this letter on the first day of July, it kind of looked like we were resolved as that. The memorandum of understanding and oil prices were nice and low. And then we had small escalations and then medium escalations and now big escalation. And now we're right back where we were a few months ago. So it's just really hard to predict how these things come out. And still on this one, it's pretty hard for me to see what the palatable outcome would be to both Iran and the US for settling this one. So it remains just a big uncertainty on how this resolves. I just tend to think it's probably the way of the world right now, where there's this long-running building conflict between the US and China at the back of things, but that's driving a lot of these other smaller conflicts maybe in the
You mentioned China, and we've got a conflict with China. It's not a hot war like Iran, but we've had the trade war ongoing, I mean, since Trump's first term. This is now a decade in, which, to your point, is kind of like the conflicts happening around the world. Not always going to be missiles, but certainly going to be more conflict than maybe we were used to a decade ago.
Exactly. And I think this, I mean, AI, the other key thing we're speaking about, is probably also driving this, because, I mean, I think yesterday the US came out and said this leading new open source Kimi model that China released was distilled from the leading US lab. They've obviously got limits on what semiconductor equipments, what chips China can buy. So I think this thing will run at the back end, because both of them, other countries, realize this will probably be the most important thing for who dominates the world over the next 10 or 20 years. So I think you'll have a lot of other skirmishes, but I think at the back end, that's probably going to drive this. And I just cannot see how this goes away.
Yeah, and that was your second big point for the year, was the emergence of human-level machine intelligence. And it's only going to get more and more. You mentioned that you had first mentioned it, I think you said in 2022, but it's going to be a feature of your biannual letter, simply because of advancements and how much it's playing into the investment landscape, but also just the day-to-day. You mentioned Kimi. We had ChatGPT hacking Hugging Face over the weekend.
Yes.
Again, where you started in beginning of July, you're writing a different letter 3 weeks later.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a function of us being on this exponential curve. I don't think AI improvement is a linear straight line. It's going exponential, and we're in the vertical liftoff part of it. And you can almost just feel this in terms of the number of mornings I wake up and I check my Twitter feed, and there's been some crazy thing that happened overnight. As you said, this is where the AI escaped its containment and just hacked another company to get the answer to a question it was asked, and obviously Kimi. And I literally told my friends, like, you can feel that we're living in the singularity moment where things are on takeoff. And I just constantly tell our team that the rate of change in the world has picked up massively over the last 12 months. And I think we should prepare for this to be the new way of things. I do not think it's going back. So it's a bit of a wild time, but it's certainly very exciting to figure out what to do in these times.
Absolutely. The genie's not back in the bottle. If anything, it's just going to get faster. And of course, then the big story is around the investment case. I mean, you know, and we talk Mag 7 a lot on this show, and Mag 7 hasn't had the greatest year, but the concerns around AI infrastructure build out, you comment that this misses the point. Yes, there's money being spent, but there's revenue growth. Those Alphabet numbers, that cloud growth, those were staggering numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the simplest way to look at it would be to say the Mag 7, which is the largest companies the world have ever seen, decided about 12 or 18 months ago to send every dollar they make to these semiconductors companies to make chips for them. And like, with hindsight, it's such an obvious trade. You should probably just buy the companies getting all this money from them.
Yeah.
And you should maybe just press pause on the Mag 7 until we figure out exactly how much they're going to spend. And fortunately, we figured out the one leg and we bought the semiconductors. Unfortunately, I didn't think through the second leg, which would be, firstly, these companies have less available cash flow in the short term. And secondly, people have to sell something in tech to fund the buying they want to do in semiconductors. And the obvious ones is you sell some of your other tech basket to buy these ones. So we got the semiconductor leg right, and we were a bit slow on the other leg. And as you said, these Google numbers that came out was very interesting. I mean, their CapEx is revised up again for this year to $200 billion. But the key thing now is this morning when all the sell side reports came out, so Goldman's, JP Morgan, and Morgan Stanley all now have CapEx going up from 200 billion this year to between 360 and 380 billion next year, which is just staggering numbers. Wow. These are like almost double what people were just 6 months ago expecting for next year. So if anything, we've been having a lot of debates on these results to say, it clearly shows that 2027 is still going to be a massive shortage year for all of the semiconductors with these kind of numbers coming out. So prices will probably stay high. Yeah. And even though these things are up a lot, they might just continue to do very well while the CapEx numbers keep going up.
We might not see 10xing in a year, but I concur. This is not over. Maybe the easy money, I hate the phrase, but maybe it has been made. A last question, then the picture for South Africa. And my sense is that this means completely unclear because it's actually all just about the oil price.
Yeah, I think you're so right there. We just had this real nice period at the start of this year when we just saw foreign interest really pick up in SA. All the companies we were talking to had foreign investors phoning them to set up meetings to look at SA because the political story had stabilized and there was potentially a real recovery story. So I think the political situation, while not great, at least the GNU is holding. It looks like the ANC is trying to put some pressure on these municipalities where the money's getting wasted. So you can make a story there, but now the consumer's under pressure because they've got to spend all this money on the oil price and taxi fare. So unfortunately, this potentially good SA story has just been put on ice. And exactly as you say, we don't know when this will end.
Yeah. And again, beginning of the month, we were looking at maybe another 3 rand in the fuel price. And now we're looking at no change. July's been a month. We'll leave it there. Jacques Conradi, CEO, Peregrine Capital. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.